It's all say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up from the Mishnah. Today's daf is Pei Vav. We're picking up Emir Hashem from the Mishnah on Pei Hei Amud Beis. So we're back a little bit to some of the topics of Truma consumption. So the Gemara says the following. Bas Yisrael, Me'ureses L'Kohen. If you have a Bas Yisrael who has Irisin with a Kohen, or Me'uberes Mikohen, or she is pregnant from a Kohen. And Rabbi said this would be a case where she's pregnant from a Kohen, but either she's divorced, or her husband died, or Shomeres Yavam L'Kohen, or a woman who is waiting to do Yibum with a brother who is the Kohen. V'chein Bas Kohen L'Yisrael. And so to have a Bas Kohen married a Yisrael. In all of these cases, Lo Socha B'Truma. In all of these cases, these women may not eat Truma. The Rabbah said, remember, the common denominator over here is if you have an Erisin, does not entitle you to eat Truma, as we've already established. If the woman is pregnant with a Kohanic child, but she's no longer married to the Kohen, either because of death or divorce, remember, that child will entitle her to eat Truma, but only when? Only after she gives birth. After 30 days the child is alive. And Shomeres Yavam, if she's waiting for Yibum, she can't eat Truma until Yibum is actually performed. And of course, a Bas Kohen who marries Yisrael, although from her father's home there is an entitlement to eat Truma, once she marries, I don't want to say it marries down, Chas V'Shalom, because every Jew is holy, but once she marries Yisrael, then at the end of the day she is not permitted to eat Truma anymore. No, during Erisin, because she's living at her father's home, she's permitted to go and still consume Truma. Bas Yisrael Me'ureses L'Levi. Similarly, again, Rabbi Osei said that was true by Truma. Now we're going to speak about parallel cases when it comes to a Levi. Remember, a Levi is entitled to eat Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara says, Bas Yisrael Me'ureses L'Levi. If a Bas Yisrael ultimately, again, has Erisin with a Levi, or Me'uberes Me'Levi, or she is pregnant from a Levi. And Rabbi Osei, again, that pregnancy case is the same thing. And either her husband divorced her or has died. Me'uberes Levi, Shomeres Yavam Le'Levi, or she's waiting for Yibum to a Levi. V'chein Bas Levi Le'Yisrael, or a Bas Levi marries Yisrael. In all of these cases, Lo Sochal B'Maiser. She is not permitted to eat Maiser. Bas Levi, because we'll say again, same idea over here as the Kohen case. Bas Levi Me'ureses L'Kohen is actually another interesting case. So case number one was dealing with the Kahuna. Part one is the Kuna, part two is the Levium. Now part three, you have a Bas Levi Me'ureses L'Kohen. So it says you have a Bas Levi who's betrothed to a Kohen, or Me'uberes Me'Kohen, or she's pregnant from a Kohen, or Shomeres Yavam L'Kohen, or she's waiting for Yibum for a Kohen, V'chein Bas Kohen L'Levi, or a Bas Kohen marries a Levi. In all of those cases, Lo Socha Lo B'Truma, but Lo B'Maiser. Now we'll say in that case, where she straddles between two families, Kohanim and Levim, if she's in any of these limbo-type cases, right, those situations prevent her from eating both Truma as well as Maaser Rishon. Fine. So we'll say, the Gemara picks up. So the truth is, the first part of this Mishnah that deals with the Kahuna, we've kind of dealt with this already. We've spoken about these cases where and when a woman is entitled to eat Truma and when she's not entitled to eat Truma. What the Mishnah really introduces to us over here is the new case of the Levi. So remember, again, so the Mishnah told us that if three cases with the Leviya, a Levi, a Bas Yisrael, is betrothed to a Levi, or she's pregnant, so again, if she's betrothed to a Levi, so that betrothal does not entitle her to go ahead and eat Truma. Or if she's pregnant from a Levi, pregnancy from a Levi doesn't entitle, and again, her husband either died or divorced her, so only once that child is born will she have that ability. Or she's waiting for a Yibum from a Levi, or a Bas Levi face. So in all of these cases, Rabbi Osei, because her status or her connection to Levi, to the Levi, is not fully forged, therefore, she can't eat Maaser Rishon. So let's even just focus on the first case, just for simple illustrative purposes. So a Bas Yisrael does Erisin with a Levi, right? So a Levi, we'll call him Levi, it does Erisin with a Bas Yisrael. She can't eat Truma. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Maaser Rishon. Utei Zara, what's the big deal? So let's talk about worst case scenario. So what's the halacha worst case scenario if a non-Kohen eats Truma? Worst case scenario, It's pretty bad, right? So again, if you go ahead and you do it intentionally, there's a chiyuv misa. If you do it unintentionally, so there's a chiyuv of keren and chomesh. You have to go ahead and you have to pay back the truma plus an additional penalty fifth. Let's say a non-Levi eats Ma'aser Rishon. Say a non-Levi eats Ma'aser Rishon. What's the halacha? Right? What's the halacha? Totally fine. I'm sorry, Levium. I'm sorry, Levium. Right? But again, so totally somebody eats a Ma'aser Rishon, you're totally okay. Right? Totally okay. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So if you think about it then, let's say a Bas Yisrael has Erusin with a Levi. What's the big deal? I mean, let her eat the Truma. Let her eat the Ma'aser Rishon. Utehe Zara. Let's say she's totally not related to the Levi at all, and she eats Ma'aser Rishon. There's still no real culpability. Mila Achla B'Ma'aser. Is there a problem with her eating the Ma'aser Rishon? Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel. How many? Whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Meir he. The Amar, Ma'aser Rishon Asr Lazorin. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that Ma'aser Rishon is Asr to non-Levim. This Sanya, because we learned, top of Peivav, Truma la Kohen, or Ma'aser Rishon la Levi, did Rabbi Meir. The Truma is given to the Kohen, and the Ma'aser Rishon is given to the Levi. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Now, also, when Rabbi Meir says this, what Rabbi Meir means is, look at Rashi, Truma l'koin, Nesinas l'koin, U'Ma'aser Rishon l'Levi katani, Ma'aser l'Levi dum yedi Truma. And as we're going to see, that Rabbi Meir is going to link Ma'aser Rishon to Truma. And in the same way that L'Ma'isa, only a coin could eat Truma, and not a Zar, not a non-coin, so Rabbi Meir is going to say, only a Levi could eat Ma'aser Rishon, and not a non-Levi. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah matiro l'koin. So on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, that a coin could also eat Ma'aser Rishon. Matiro? Do you tell me that it's only permitted for a coin to eat? He permits it? Mechlal di'ika man da'asar. Rabbi say, if you say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that even a coin could eat Ma'aser Rishon, what does that sound like? That sounds like there's someone who says that what? That a Kohen can't eat Ma'aser Rishon. But that's not true. Everyone agrees, as we will see later on, that a Kohen for sure could eat Ma'aser Rishon. The Shaila will be about a non-Kohen, or someone, let me say it differently. The Shaila will be on someone who is not from the tribe of Levi. But everyone agrees that even a Kohen could eat Ma'aser Rishon. So what does he mean, Matiro? Ela Ema nosno afla Kohen. Rather, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that if you choose, and we'll discuss this later on, it's actually interesting, Yemara, you could even give your Ma'aser Rishon to a Kohen as well. So meaning if I am a Yisrael farmer, I can choose to give my Ma'aser Rishon lechatchila to a Kohen if I so choose. So the Gemara is my time with the Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's logic mean? Is why does Rabbi Meir hold that lemaisa you can't, that a non-Levi can't eat, that a non-Levi can't eat Ma'aser Rishon? My time with Rabbi Meir. Amar Rav Acha b'rei de Rabba mishmei de Gemara ki es ma'aser b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu la'Hashem truma. So we'll say the pasuk is ma'aser. Ki es ma'aser b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu la'Hashem truma nasati la'Leviim. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says over here, ma truma asur l'zorim af ma'aser Rishon asur l'zorim. So we'll say, what do you see in this pasuk? What you see in this pasuk is that the Torah links Ma'aser with Truma. And just like Truma is Asura Lizarim, meaning again, Truma cannot be consumed by non-Kohanim, so too Ma'aser Rishon also cannot be consumed by non-Levim. If that's the case, if that's the case, then why don't you say in the same way that Truma, if you go ahead and you eat it intentionally, you're chayiv misa, and if you do it unintentionally, you have to pay the additional fifth. Why don't you also say, af ma'aser chayavin alav misa o chomesh? So perhaps you should say the same thing and say that what? That for ma'aser, you're also going to be chayiv, if a non-coin eats it, you'll also be chayiv either misa, if done intentionally, or chomesh, or the additional fifth, amar kra, because the pasuk says, umesu bo ki yichaleluhu. Because the pasuk says that they will die, those who profane it, v'yasif v'yasaf chamishiso alav. Bo, so again, the Gemara understands over here, it says umesu bo, it's only in truma that there is a death penalty, v'lo b'maaser, and not on maaser, alav, on it, i.e. truma, velo al maaser, and not on maaser rishon. So we'll say again, so you see over here that the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that Rabbi Meir links both truma and maaser together to say that just as a non-Kohen can't eat truma, so too a non-Levi may not eat maaser. But that linkage is limited. The linkage does not tell you that maaser rishon shares the same severity as truma, because whereas truma, if a non-Kohen eats truma, intentionally it's a chiyuv misa, unintentionally it's a chiyuv of repaying the principal plus a fifth penalty. Those same penalties do not apply by Meiser. But the core comparison teaches us that the same way that only a Kohen could eat Truma, only a Levi could eat Meiser Rishon. The Rabbanan, how do the rabbis understand this comparison between Truma and Meiser? They say, Ma Truma Toveles, Af Meiser Rishon Nami Tovel. So the rabbis understand this comparison teaches us what? That La Meisa, the same way that if you don't remove truma from a mixture of produce, so the produce is considered to be tevel, untithed produce, so too if you don't remove maaser sheni from a mixture, that also makes the mixture tevel. Uchi desanya Rabbi Yossi, as we learned in the Bryce, Rabbi Yossi says, Yochol lo yeh chayiv ela al tevel shalohurum imeno kolikar. So Rabbi Yossi says, I might have thought, Rabbi Yossi again, tevel means untithed produce. I might have thought that the definition of tevel, you're not permitted to eat tevel, obviously. I might have thought the definition of tevel means produce from which no tithe has been removed. But if some tithe, however, again, hura mimenu truma gidola, but let's say you took out truma from it, velo hura mimenu maaser rishon, but let's say you didn't separate out maaser rishon, or maaser rishon velo maaser sheni, or you separate out maaser rishon, but didn't separate out maaser sheni, v'afilu maaser ani, or even if you just separate out maaser ani minayin, how do I know that even if you separated out one tithe, but what? Didn't separate out the other tithes that you need to separate, that at the end of the day, it's still called tevel. I mean, we're both saying, how do I know that what tevel means is not just untithed produce, but produce from which all of the tithes have not been taken? Talmud Lomar. The pasuk says, you shall not be able to eat it within your gates. And later on it says, va'achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveyu. You shall eat it within your gates and you shall be sated. Ma'sha'arecha amur la'alon ma'isir ani. Right? It's just like later on the sha'arecha that it says, it's talking about ma'isir ani. Af sha'arecha amur kan ma'isir ani. So to over here, so it also refers to ma'isir ani, the tithe for the poor. Va'amurachmana lo suchal. And the pasuk says, you may not eat it. Which the Gemara is understanding to mean that you have to separate out everything from truma through maaser ani. So maaser ani is considered to be again the lowest on the tithing ladder. So it's considered to be tevel up until the point that you separate out everything from it. So the Gemara says v'imeh hasam. But if I learned it out from there, have amina lelav. That only teaches me again that there's a lav. However, aval misa lo, but it doesn't teach it the zechi of misa. Therefore, again, kamash malon, that not like that. Kamash malon, that because of the hekish between truma and meiser, I understand the zechi of misa for non-compliance. Lishnachrina, another version of this previous exchange. Maaser rishon de tavil mid Rabbi Yossi nafka. So the idea that maaser rishon goes ahead, and if you don't separate out maaser rishon from a mixture, that the mixture is rendered tevel. So that we learned out from the statement of Rabbi Yossi that we stated before. The Gemara says, however, ime ahi, if I were just learn out from there, hava amina lalav, I would have said that is just to tell me that there's a lav. Ava misa lo, but I would know that there's a chi of misa. Kamash malo, know that there's a chi of misa as well. So b'mayo kimto, so we'll say, so now the Gemara goes back for a second. So now, how have you established this case? Now remember, we said before that a Bas Yisrael, right, that a Bas Yisrael who is, that a Bas Yisrael is not permitted to eat Meiser. So how did you set up that case? Rabbi Meir. So we'll say we wanted to set up that case in accordance with the position of Rabbi Meir, as we said before. However, so we'll say Rabbi Meir is of the opinion who says that what? That a Zar, a non-Levi, is not permitted to eat Meiser Rishon. Remember, because Rabbi Meir is the one who creates the linkage between Meiser Rishon and Truma, to say just like a Zar can't eat Truma, so too a Zar cannot eat Meiser Rishon. So you established that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. However, look at the Seifa. Ema Seifa is another interesting case. Bas Levi me'ureses la'kohen. If you have a Bas Levi who did a resin with a Kohen, Ubas Kohen Lelevi, or a Bas Kohen does Idrisin with a Levi, Lo Sochal. In these cases, Rabbi say these women may not eat Lo Betruma V'Lo B'Maser. They may not eat Truma, and they may not eat Maser either. So the Gemara says over here, Hacha my Zoros Ika. So we'll say, see, here's the problem. See, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, that a Zar, right, a Zar, and we're assuming Zar means what? Someone who's not from the tribe of Levi, a Yisrael, is not permitted to eat my Sarisha. Okay, I can understand that. Here's the problem. Look at the last case of the Mishnah. And the last case of the Mishnah is, you have a Bas Levi who has Eris into a Kohen. So, I understand if you tell me that a Bas Kohen who has Eris into a Levi, excuse me, or a Bas Levi who has Eris into a Kohen can't eat Truma. Why is that so? It's only Erisin, because all right, we've established that you can only go ahead and eat Truma once you are married to the Kohen. I get that. But she should be able to eat what? Meiser. Because again, there's no Zoros. She's not, so to speak, an alien, meaning she's in the tribe of Levi. And again, I'll say, remember, either way, she's in the tribe of Levi, because Iman of Shach. You know, again, if you say that she's still living in her father's home, her father's a Levi. Or if you want to say she's a marital connection to the Kohen, she's in the tribe. See, either way, she's in the tribe of Levi, whichever way you cut it. So why can't she eat Maiser Rishon? To which the Gemara says, Hacha, my Zoros Ika. Amar of Sheshes, my Eina Ocheles Diktani Asa. What does it mean when it says she can't eat? Doesn't mean she can't eat. Rather, Eina Nosenes Rishos Litrom. She is unable to go ahead and give others the ability to tithe on her behalf. Look at Rashi. Eina Nosenes Rishos. So first of all, go back one Rashi, I'm sorry. My Eina Ocheles Diktani. What does it mean when it says she can't eat? Kula Mas Nisan Gavi Meiser. Now, Rashi is suggesting this definition will apply to all of the cases. What it means is this woman cannot go ahead and give permission to her agents to go ahead and tithe her, we'll call it her fiancé's produce, ulaharim mimenu trumas meiser, v'havilei kitorim shalom idas. I'm going to say, the halacha is like this. Cohen gets truma, Levi gets meiser. The Levi must separate out another portion for the Kohen called Trumas Meiser. So now what the Gemara is suggesting, what Shesh is suggesting, is that in this case over here, where let's say the Bas Levi goes ahead and is betrothed to, Bas Levi is betrothed to the Kohen. So what happens? It says, Eino Ocheles. Eino Ocheles can't mean she can't eat Meiser. That's not true. She should be able to eat Meiser. So what does it mean, Eino Ocheles? That she can't go ahead and appoint her Shaliach to go ahead and tithe her husband's produce, her fiancé's produce, to take Trumas Meiser from that produce. Why? Because at the end of the day, Rashi says, V'havilei kitorim shlomidas, because that is the equivalent of ultimately tithing one's produce without their knowledge, which of course is prohibited. So the Gemara says, Michlal, dinesua nosenas rishus. So are you telling me that when a woman is married, she does have the ability to ask her agent to tithe her husband's produce without his knowledge? If so, the Gemara says, yes, v'atanya, but one second, we learned, v'achaltem oso b'chol makom, atem uveischem, but it says you shall eat it in any place, you together with your home. Limeit al nesua bas Yisrael, shanosenes rishos litrom. This teaches us that what? That a married bas Yisrael has the ability to go ahead and what? Give rishos to her shaliach to go ahead and take truma. And I will say, this is talking about the case where she is married to the Levi and she gives her shaliach the permission to go ahead and separate out the trumas meiser. So do you think that literally means that she has the ability to give her agent the permission to go ahead and tithe her husband's produce? Maybe what it means is she has the ability to eat this produce, meaning if she's married to a Levi, she has the ability to eat the Maaser Rishon, to which the Gemara says, Amrit truma chamura ochales, so that can't be about eating, because eating is obvious. If when a woman marries a Kohen, she has the ability to eat truma, and truma is much stricter than Meiser, then Meiser HaKalo Kol Shekin, then obviously again, she can go ahead and what? She can go ahead and eat Meiser Rishon, Rather, what does it teach us? It teaches us that a fully married woman, a nesua, does have the ability to ask her shaliach to tithe her husband's produce. So what comes out over here is something very interesting. So therefore, first of all, just a side halacha, which is that again, an arusa does not have the ability, bless you, to ask a shaliach to go ahead and tithe her husband's produce, bless you, because she does not yet have rights in that produce. Therefore, you can't tithe something that is not yours. But once a man and woman are married, erusin, a wife does have the ability to appoint a shaliach to go ahead and have the shaliach tithe her husband's produce. She could do it herself also, but she has the ability to go ahead and appoint a shaliach to tithe her husband's produce. The chiddush over here of the Mishnah is like this. What comes out from the Mishnah is that lemaisa, again, if a woman is not fully married to a kohen, she may not eat truma, and if a woman is not fully married to a levi, she may not eat maaser rishon. But anyone could eat maaser rishon. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that maaser rishon is like truma, just like truma may not be eaten by a zar, so too maaser rishon cannot be consumed by a zar as well. And that last case of the Mishnah, of the bas kohen married to the levi, or the bas levi married to the kohen, where the Mishnah still says that she can't eat maaser rishon, even though, again, either way, she's part of the tribe of Levi, Rav Sheshes interprets to mean it's not that she can't eat truma, it's what? That she can't ask her shaliach to tithe her husband's truma. She can do that while she's fully married, but she can't do that in a state of erusin. Mar Brid Ravna, Amar Lomar Shein Cholkin La Maaser Bebeis Agranus. So Mabri Dravna says, no, what it means is that in that case, Rabbi say, where she's only in Arusa, so again, and that's either case, that's either where she's the Bas Levi marrying the coin, or she's the Bas coin marrying the Levi, that we will not, in the state of Erisin, we will not give her her husband's portion of Maaser Rishon in the granary. So therefore, honey chalaman de amar. So we'll say, remember, this Marbrei Ramna is once again defining the case of the Levia who's Mu'ureses for the Kohen, to the Kohen, or for that matter, the Bas Kohen, who is Mu'ureses to Levi. And remember, the Mishnah said that she can't eat Meiser. So Marbrei Ramna says, what does it mean she can't eat Meiser? It doesn't literally mean she can't eat Meiser. She can eat Meiser, because at the end of the day, we've established either way she's part of the tribe of Levi. Rather, what it means is we won't give her Meiser Rishon in the granary. So if she shows up at the granary asking for Meiser Rishon, we will not give it to her. Why not? This works well according to the opinion. It says that in general, we don't give out Kohanic or Levitic portions to women in the granaries out of a concern of yichud. Right? Yichud, remember, again, is the prohibition to be alone with a woman. So in the granary, if it's acceptable for the woman to show up at the granary to ask for Maaser Rishon, could we shall end up being alone with the Yisrael? We want to avoid situations of yichud. But according to the opinion, who says that we're concerned about what? If you get used to going ahead and giving the woman the portion of the Maaser Rishon, the truma, what's the concern? The concern is that if it turns out that she gets divorced from her Kohanic husband, and she keeps let's say people don't know about divorce, she keeps showing up to pick up her truma, and she's not really entitled to it. So the Gemara says, one second, Grusha Bas Levi Milo Achla B'Maaser, Ulta'amech Grusha Bas Koin Milo Achla B'Truma. But I will say, even if she's divorced, if she's a Bas Koin, if she's a Bas Levi, B'Pashtos, in most cases, there's still be an entitlement for her to eat. So what's the big deal? Alexera Mishum Grusha Bas Yisrael. You're right. I will say, if she is a Bas Kohen or she's a Bas Levi, we're not so concerned about if she gets divorced, but we are concerned about what case? About the Bas Yisrael. Because if a Bas Yisrael gets divorced from the Kohen or the Levi that she was married to, assuming there were no children, then Lemaisa what? She is no longer permitted to partake of these tithes. And if you get accustomed to giving them to her because she shows up at the granary and there's a change in her marital status, people may not know about this, and she'll be illegally collecting chuma or meiser. Ihachi ma'ir yemeureses. If that's the case again, then why is the restriction on giving a woman Kohanic or Levitic gift in the granary limited to an arusa? That should be afila nesua nami. That should even be for nesua. To which the Gemara says, "I did the tana reish yemeureses." Tana Nami Seifa Me'ura says, the truth is, you're right. That concern does apply even to a Nesua. And the only reason the Mishnah speaks about it in the context of Erisin is why? Mishneik symmetry. Because the beginning of Mishnah was talking about Erisin, and therefore the end of the Mishnah talks about Erisin. So we'll say, again, this is just another interpretation of that last case. Because remember, we're all confounded, but the Gemara is confounded by that same basic issue, which is that if you're talking about a Bas Kohen who's marrying a Levi, or a Bas Levi who's marrying a Kohen, even an Erisin, she should be permitted to eat Truma. She should be permitted to eat Maaser Rishon because she is part of the Levitic family. Therefore, again, the Gemara has to reinvent that case. And Mar Bered Ravna says, it doesn't mean she can't eat it. It means she can't show up to the granary to collect it. What are we concerned about? We're concerned pretty much about the fact that because if there's a change in her marital status, she'll still come and collect and people won't know this. They'll give it to her. But she's still entitled to it. We're concerned not as much about her, but we're concerned really about Abbas Yisrael. And in reality, this concern applies both during Erisin as well as Nisuin. But since the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about Erisin, so to what? The end of the Mishnah speaks about Erisin as well. Tan Rabbanan. Truma le Kohen u'maiser le Levi, div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Truma goes to a Kohen, and Maaser Rishon goes to a Levi. So Rabbi Akiva, you'll see to yourself, okay, that's very nice, Rabbi Akiva, thank you for that. Rabbi Akiva is talking about specifically, right? Truma only goes to a Kohen, and Maaser Rishon only goes to a Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Omer le Kohen. So the Gemara says, no, he says, Maaser Rishon goes to a Kohen. One second. Le Kohen velo le Levi? Are you telling me that again, that Maaser Rishon only goes to a Kohen and not to a Levi? That can't be. Ema af le Kohen. Rather, no, what does it mean? It means that Maaser Rishon goes even what? Even to a Kohen. So of course, we'll say Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not going to argue that Maaser Rishon is a Levitic gift. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about is the following. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says Maaser Rishon only goes to a Levi and not to anyone else, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will say what? So, no, I don't like my local Levi. I don't like him. I don't want to give him anything. Or perhaps, again, there are no Levim, local Levim, who I feel perhaps are of upstanding character. I don't want to give it to, or for whatever reason, or I just have a Levi thing. I have a Levi thing, right? So what happens? So I am permitted, if I want, to go ahead and give my restitution to a Kohen. So fundamental machlokes was Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva's logic? I mean, remember, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, that my restitution dafka has to go to the Levi. Dichsiv ve'el ha-Levim, Tidaber va'amarta aleihem. So the pasuk says, to the Levim you will say, you shall speak, and you shall say to them. And the Torah is speaking about over here, about the laws of Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara says, B'levim kamishtoikra. Because again, you see over here that when it talks about Maaser Rishon, it's Dafka talking about the Levim. So you see from here that what? Maaser Rishon can only be given to Levim. So the Gemara says, V'idach, K'rav Yeshua ben Levi. And what does Elazar ben Azariah do with this pasuk? Again, so you have a pasuk that explicitly speaks about, again, the Levitic right to Maaser Rishon. So if it's the right of the Levim, then what right do you have to give it to the Kohanim? So where does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah get this idea that you give it to the Kohanim? V'idach, K'rav Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will say, K'rav Yeshua ben Levi, Dar Yeshua ben Levi, Be'esim ve'arba makamos, Nikru Kohanim Levim. Listen to this. In 24 places, it's actually very interesting, Kohanim are called Levim. So we'll say, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi points out is that there are times where even Kohanim are referred to as Levim, and that is not an incorrect statement. Why? Because Kohanim are also from Shevet Levi. So there are 24 places throughout Tanakh where the Kohanim are called Levim, and this is one of them. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi will say that Lemaisa, again, even here, even though it says talk to the Levim and tell them about their right to the Maaser Rishon, it refers to Kohanim as well. V'zeh echer mehem, v'akohanim ha-Levim b'nei Tzadok. Rabbi Akiva, hacha lo matzis amrit, dichsiv v'achaltem oso b'chol makom. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it can't be that this pasuk, I read that quickly. The Gemara is giving an example over here of how Kohanim are sometimes called Levim. V'ha-Kohanim ha-Levim b'nei Tzadok. So here it calls the Kohanim Levim. The Gemara is just giving an example how sometimes even Kohanim are called Levim. Fine. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Akiva do with this? What does Rabbi Akiva do with this idea? That meaning, Rabbi Akiva doesn't reject the idea that sometimes Kohanim are also called Levim. What he does reject, however, is what? Is that in this particular pasuk that we quoted by Meister Yishon, he rejects the idea that Levim over here means Kohanim. He says Levim means Levim. And how do I know that? Rabbi Akiva, Hachalo Matzis Amrit, here you can say that Levim refers to Kohanim. That Levim refers to Kohanim. Dichsiv, Va'achaltem also, Bechomakom. Because I will say the pasuk, when speaking about Meister Yishon, says that what? You shall eat it in any place. This refers to what? It refers to someone who has the ability to eat Meiser Rishon anywhere he wants. Yotza Kohen, this excludes a Kohen. She'ein yachala achla b'veis hakvaras. So I'll say this comes to exclude who? A Kohen who cannot eat Meiser Rishon wherever he wants. Right? Because a Kohen cannot eat Meiser Rishon in the cemetery. I'll say, I want to be clear. Meiser Rishon does not have to be consumed in a state of Tara. So this is interesting. So if a lady wants to picnic out, you know, it's one of the strangest things I found when I came to Baltimore. What's that cemetery where everybody goes on a Judah? Strange. I know there's not much to do here, but I mean, you know, it's always interesting. So in any event, you know, if I want a picnic in the cemetery, so I am permitted to do that. Again, a levy's permitted to do that. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, I'll agree with you that at the end of the day, Kohanim are sometimes referred to as Levim, but I would tell you that this pasuk by Meister Rishon cannot be referring to Kohanim for the simple reason that the Torah says that they could eat it wherever they want, and that is not a true statement by Kohanim. Kohanim can't eat wherever they want. V'idach, what will Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? V'idach, kolecha debay choma, delo by, excuse me, v'idach, therefore again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will say that no. What it means is that they could go and eat it whatever they want. What does the Torah mean when it says you can eat it wherever you want? It means delo baichoma. It means that you do not have to consume Meiser Rishon within the walls of Yerushalayim. Furthermore, it means that you can eat Meiser Rishon in any state in which you are in, even bitumas aguf, even ultimately, again, with ritual impurity and a state of ritual impurity, and there are no malchus. So we'll say, what comes out over here is this fundamental machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So remember again, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that halacha l'maisa only Kohanim could eat Truma, that everybody's agreeing with, but only Levim can eat Meiser Rishon. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that no, Meiser Rishon can even be given to the Kohen himself. Now let's say again, and they're both understanding that pretty much based on how to dash in the pasuk. Fine. Says the Gemara. A story. Hahiginsa. Now this is actually very, you're going to say that's interesting for just a moment. There was a particular garden. The Havashakil, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Meiser Rishon. I will say, now here comes out something very interesting that we didn't know beforehand. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said that even a Kohen is permitted to go ahead and get Meiser Rishon, is what? Is a Kohen himself. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. So now the Gemara says over here that there was a particular garden, when it says a garden, there was a particular gardener who used to give Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah his Meiser Rishon. What happened? So what happened? Azar Rabbi Akiva, ahadre lepischa lebekivri. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi, it's very interesting. Rabbi Akiva closed off the entranceway to the garden, and apparently, let's say the garden was fenced off, and I guess on one side it was next to a cemetery, and he made the only entranceway to the garden through the cemetery. So essentially, what did he do? He prevented Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from getting in there to get the Meiser Rishon. So let's say, what's interesting about this is, so now we just learned the machlokes between these two individuals. Now we're seeing how this story plays out. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is very unhappy with this. He said, Amar, Akiva bitamilo va'ana chaye. Akiva still walks around with his pouch, but it's okay, I'll still live. And I will say, now this was a very disparaging statement of Rabbi Akiva. Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva betamilo, mishum Rabbi Akiva raya dekalba savu ahava. The pouch refers to the shepherd's pouch. See, he was calling Rabbi Akiva a simple shepherd. He's making a reference to the fact that Rabbi Akiva was ignorant until the age of 40. So he said, Akiva, you're still a shepherd, and it's okay. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a wealthy individual. He's saying, you haven't hurt me in any way. So he was upset that Rabbi Akiva did this, because obviously, Rabosai, you know, it's one thing to have a fundamental machlokis in halacha. It's another thing actually to take things into your own hands. And to, again, so, you know, if you're Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, look, you hold your way, I hold my way, but don't go ahead and impose your view on me by changing circumstances that are present in my life already. He's very upset, Rabbi Akiva. He called him a shepherd. Itmar, mipnei ma kantzalavim b'maisa. I'll say, listen to this. Now, here's what's interesting about this. What's interesting about this is the following. The idea that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say that Kohanim could have maisa rishon as well. Now, there's, obviously, no one's going to disagree that in its purest form, Maisa Rishon is meant as the portion of the Levian. So why is it that we would assume, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, why do you think that ultimately, again, Kohanim should be entitled to it? Now, I'll take it even a step further. That, as we're going to see historically, something changed. If you look at Rashi just a moment, the time of the Hachi La Mishum Kenasa, Ella Mishum the Kohanim Nami Levim Ikro Kidamron, Ella Darm Bekamu Duchtim Bashas, Buzzard the Kansu Ezra Mesecha Sota, Tran Yochanan Kohen Godel Heavier, Hadias My Serva Amr Mithne Shema Frishan also Kitiknon, Drachman Amr Yehava Levim Vat. So let me tell you this outside. So now, up until this point, we had a machlokas in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about the legal entitlement of Kohanim to Maaser Rishon. Now the Gemara says, leaving aside that machlokas, something happened that took away the right of Maaser Rishon from the Levim and gave it to the Kohanim. What happened that took away that entitlement? So pligi bar Rabbi Yochanan v'savio. So right, Rabbi Yochanan and Savio and the elder disagreed. Chad amar shalo alu b'mei Ezra. So Bosai, this is quite amazing. Levi, what the tribe of Levi, meaning, and when I say the tribe of Levi, the Levium were conspicuously absent when the Jews returned back to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra. The Levium did not come. So one says, so therefore again, as part of the penalty for not coming back, they lost their entitlement to Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Rishon was given to the Kohanim. V'chad amar, k'dei she'yismichu Kohanim alav b'mei tumasan. And others explain that it was given to the Kohanim, so that the Kohanim should have what to eat when they were tummy. Because as we said before, Maaser Rishon can be eaten even in a state of tumah. Truma cannot. Bishon l'madam shlo alu, mishum ha'chi kansinu. So I understand, according to the opinion, who says that we took away their Maaser Rishon because they did not go ahead and travel up with Ezra. It's a knas, it's a penalty. They did not come back with Ezra, therefore they lost their Maaser Rishon. But according to the one who says that we gave the Maaser Rishon to the Kohanim so that they should have something to eat when they are tamei, that doesn't sound fair. That the Kohanim should have something to eat, therefore we take away the Levim, what their entitlement is. But rather, in reality, everyone agrees that the reason why the Levium lost Maaser Rishon is because it was a knas, it was a penalty, that they did not come back with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael. This is from Bavel. Shalom Ezra. V'hacha b'hacha miflegis. What are they arguing about? Mar savar knas alanim. So I'll say, everyone agrees with the historical reality that the Levium did not come back, and therefore, as a result, Ezra punished them, took away their Maaser Rishon, and gave it to the Kohanim. Took away their Maaser Rishon. The machlokes is, who did he give it to? Mar savar knas alanim. One says that he gave it to the poor. Umar savar kohanim bimei tumasan aniyin ninu. And the others say, no, he gave it to the Kohanim when they are Tameim. Why? Because Kohanim, when they are Tameim, are considered to be like Aniyim. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because if a Kohen is Tameh, then what? Then the Mais, again, he has no Truma. If he has no Truma, then the Pashtas, he's an Ani. Bishlam, the man, the Amar Kenas, the Aniyim, Mishumachi, Ahadji, Rabbi Kiva, the Pishal, the Kivri. So I understand. In the Kohen, so going back to the story between Rabbi Elizabeth and Azariah and Rabbi Kiva before, so if you hold, like the opinion who says, that yes, Ezra took away the Maaser Rishon, but he gave it to the poor, that's a Rabbi Akiva prevented Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from taking the Maaser Rishon from that garden by going ahead and closing off the entranceway and making the only entranceway through the cemetery, which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah cannot access. El Lamand Amr the Kohanim, but according to the opinion who says that Lamaisa, when Ezra took away Ma'aser Rishon from Levim, they gave it to the Kohanim. Amai Ahadra Lepischa Lebe Kivri. Why did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah close off the entranceway of the garden and prevent Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from taking the Ma'aser Rishon? It should be entitled to take the Ma'aser Rishon. To which the Gemara says the following. Hachi Ka'amarle. This is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, excuse me, this is what Rabbi Kiva was saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Ida Ka'asis Betoras Kinasa Islacha. So we'll say Rabbi Akiva was trying to make a point to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why are you coming to collect this Ma'aser Rishon? If you are coming because you recognize that it really belongs to the Levim, but Ezra penalized the Levim, and the Levim no longer get it, and therefore you are collecting it, you are collecting the Knas, you're collecting it as a penalty payment, then fine, Islacha. However, V'ika as is Petoras Chaluka, but if you're coming here because you think that Kohanim are entitled, L'chatchila, to take Ma'aser Rishon, then what? Leslacha. Then, so what Rabbi Akiva was concerned about is that he felt Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did feel, that Kohanim are entitled. He thought it was an entitlement. And Rabbi Akiva says, it is not an entitlement. You're a Kohen. You have your own entitlements. Yeah, so what was interesting over here is that Rabbi Akiva at the end of the day agrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is permitted to go ahead and eat the Ma'aser Rishon. But what he disagreed was to the mechanics of the collection. You, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, think that you are lechatchila entitled to it. That is untrue. But you are entitled to it because the Levim lost it, and therefore Ezra chose to give it to you. And Rabbi said that is not a matter of semantics. That's very important to understand the nature of the entitlement. Umanavan delo salika b'me Ezra. How do you know that the Levim did not come up? Did not come back to Israel during the days of Ezra. Dechsev va'akabtzeim elanar. So Rabbi said the Gemara over is quoting from the pasuk in Ezra. Va'akabtzeim elanar. I gathered the people by the river. Habo el ahava v'nachana sham yamim shlosha. So we waited there for 3 days. Right? Ezra issued an ultimatum for everyone to come and join him to go back to Israel. And who showed up? Va'avina ba'am ba'kohanim. There are kohanim there. Umibnei Levi lo matzasi sham. None of the Levim showed up. But it's like quite amazing. The Levim enjoyed the good. They enjoyed Bavel too much. Right? They also were highly intermarried. Right? Rampant intermarriage. So the Levim just simply didn't show up. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that the Levim didn't come back? It's a pretty explicit positive because the Levim did not show up by the river, by the rendezvous point. So the Gemara goes on. In the beginning, we only used to appoint shotrim from the Levim. Remember, the shotrim are the officers of the court, those who would enforce the rulings of the Beis Din, who had to have been people who of high moral standing. So in the beginning, shotrim, the officers, would only be appointed from the Levim. However, shenemar v'shotrim ha-levim lefnechem. Achshav, however, now, so the Gemara is giving another example as to the decline of the Levim. In the beginning, again, we only appointed officers from the Levim. Now, we don't appoint officers from the Levim, only from Yisraelim, Shenemar, V'shotrim harabim barashechem. And ultimately, again, the great shotrim will be at your head, but ultimately a reference to the idea that it's no longer from the Levim, but only from the Yisraelim. So we see, again, that the Levim compromised their standing in two ways. Really, in one way, they never came back with Ezra, so because of that, again, they lost out on their ability to collect Ma'aser Rishon. That was a knas. And number two, again, whereas once upon a time they were considered to be the shotrim, they were the people of high moral standing, were able to enforce the rulings of Beis Din. They also lost that ability as a result of not returning with Ezra. All right, Tabosa, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. All right. So where did the Levim?